Hi, everyone. I hope I am visible to all of you. It's a little, this is the first episode of Ask a Witch, and it is 12 noon on the 23rd of February in 2018, and I am Elizabeth Hamilton. Some of you know me from my other endeavors in the Karelian nativist tradition, which is the Wiccan tradition that I almost basically grew up in. but I haven't really talked about my practice as a witch as compared to a Wiccan, and I think that's because for me they kind of mesh and kind of get melded together a little bit. So I've decided to do this episode of Ask a Witch, and I have several questions that people were so kind enough to ask of me a bit ahead of time, so that I have a few to go off of while everyone is getting in here. So please, hi Ed and Lori, and Ed has been kind enough to watch while he's in the middle of convocation. That's exciting. Also with Don, Lord Don Lewis. So share, please share. I love doing this kind of thing. I love doing video and audio. Let's see. So I guess, we'll give it a couple more minutes and I'll just kind of talk about myself a little bit more. Actually, I can just jump in with the questions that one of my friends had asked me. That's kind of like a general sort of get-to-know-you sort of thing. So, he asked how old I am. I am 29. And, that feels kind of the in-between, not yet old, not quite young anymore sort of number. You know, 30 is approaching, but I'm going at it full speed ahead. And then he asked me, where am I from? And, you know, I was thinking about this as I was setting up here, getting all the lights and stuff ready. this question kind of always confuses me, because sometimes the person asking wants to know, oh, well, like, where did you grow up? Where are you from in that respect? And then sometimes they want to know, well, where do you live? That's from my perspective, at least. It's like a dual question there. So where am I from in the respect, where did I grow up? I grew up in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania, born and raised. and where do I live? Well, currently I live in Allentown, Pennsylvania. For those of you who've ever heard of the Bethlehem Steel Factory, that's like 5 miles east of me, southeast of me, give or take. And then this is always a question. When did I learn about my gifts? Let's see. For those of you who don't know, I am a clairvoyant in the sense that I can sense spirits from the other side and interact with them, and gain information from them through, of course, it's through my filter. Because every human is a filter. The brain receives information through energy, and it comes forward through the medium, through the oracle or the medium. I learned about that when I was watching John Edwards on television when I was 11 years old, and it was a very interesting phenomenon because I had been in my old house, my mom's old house, and I was like 11 years old, and I was watching, and I'm like, Nana, I can do that. I was with my grandmother, my Nana, and I said, Nan, I can do that. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah. And I literally sat there and brought through my first oracle at 10, 11 years old. And my Nana was gobsmacked because the person I brought through was her brother who had died several days after he was born. And the proof that it was him, that just wasn't me making this up, right, was he told me about the car that she had driven up to Lake Erie, and about her and her friends after prom that they had taken this car up there for like a drive. And I had predicted the birth of my brother, my youngest brother, Nate. And basically he was saying, her brother who had died was saying, happy birthday. And I had not been told that my mother was pregnant at the time with my youngest brother. And my Nana had never mentioned that this sort of gift runs in our family. So that was quite interesting, and, you know, ever since then I've kind of been, you know, diving in and trying to learn more, in the years since, you know, on and off. And then it got really serious about when I was about 15, 16, which is when I discovered witch school. Hello, Mary, and to the 10 other people or so, plus anyone looking over shoulders, on this live feed right now. I have a few other questions from folks, and then I'm going to take live questions, so listen and think of anything that you would like to ask me. The other question that my friend had asked me as sort of like a get starter question is, what gets me excited about life? Oh my goodness. Potential. There is so much potential. I can do anything. Think about that. You as a witch, me as a witch, I can do anything. It's simply a matter of time and resources in order to do those things that I might want to do. For example, one of my big projects right now is I've started a business, Witch and Famous Agency. And I think I'll talk a little bit more about that later, perhaps. But, you know, this started at the beginning of January, at the end of last year, beginning of this year. And there's the sky is the limit of where I can go with that. And that's really, I sit back every time I think about that, and just, it's awe-striking. It strikes me as kind of this unbelievable yet believable because it's real kind of thing, you know? What else gets me excited about life? My friends, my family! You know, when I was growing up, it was one of those situations where, you know, I wasn't the most popular kid in school, and I didn't have a lot of friends in school, and everyone would tell me, all of the adults in my life would tell me, well, just wait, just hold this out, wait it out, ride it out, Liz, ride it out, Elizabeth, because you'll make your friends after school. But at the time, I didn't have the reference of after school. I didn't have the reference of what I would be doing with the rest of my life after I got out of school. It's kind of like when an adult tells a little kid, no, enjoy being a kid. you really don't want to know what it's like to be an adult, because then you have all these responsibilities. But they don't have that frame of reference to understand why the adult is telling them, listen, enjoy your childhood. It's not roses and buttercups. Like, buttercups and, I don't know, whatever else kind of metaphor you want to use for being really super awesome with, like, no hardships or whatever. So, you know, that, I wish that I would have had that frame of reference, because now I have lots of friends! I have lots of people that I know and I love interacting with, and I bet you a lot of you are watching. I don't have, like, a list of everybody who's watching, but if you are, give me a shout-out. Say hi that you're here. Aisha, I just saw you join. Hello, darling. Aisha is one other witch to watch. She is going to do phenomenal things. She's already doing phenomenal things. She is, rock star. That's a couple of things that gets me excited about life. Another thing that gets me excited about life, it's coming soon. It's called spring. Spring and summer. This witch's favorite seasons. Excellent. Aisha, you are so very welcome. You deserve all the respect. You are just, folks, if you don't believe me, don't take my word for it, okay? Go check out what Aisha has been doing in the Karelian tradition. Go to her page. Go to her temple page. Aisha, what is your temple? Again, I'm sorry, I'm having a blank. And Casey says that spring is awesome, but I like the autumn. You know, autumn rocks too, and here's the reason why autumn rocks, okay? Cider. Apple cider. Everybody else can keep their pumpkin spice. I don't like pumpkin spice, I'm not a big fan. Apple cider. Warm, mulled apple cider on a nice autumn day with the fire going, or, you know, some good music or television or whatever. Yes, here we go. Archaic Temple of Arsair is Aisha's temple, and that's a cool name. I like that name. So let's see here. We have more questions. Trying not to get sidetracked. let's see. Ed had asked me a classic question. Is a witch always female? And the simple answer is no. A witch is not always female. Men are witches too. Of course, you know, classically, witches are basically always, almost always portrayed as females, as women. But that's not always so in the modern day. And I think that's good. Because a witch is simply a person of power who can command their force of will and bring things to them using their will and using their energy and resources to obtain what they want and make the universe bend in a way that reflects what they want, what they desire. And I think this question is also interesting, and I was talking with a little bit ago with a person who said, well, you know, that question's been answered a million times. Why did he ask that question? And I said, well, you know, it doesn't really matter why he asked the question. Not everyone is going to be knowledgeable who's watching this. And I hope there's some newbies out there. You know, that's how we spread and share our knowledge, is through new people, is through curious, inquisitive folks who might not identify as witches, who might not even identify as pagans, necessarily. We might have folks out there who just, you know, ran across this on, I don't know, maybe some Facebook algorithm brought them this broadcast. That's great. That's good. Ask your questions of me in a little bit. I don't think this question is silly at all. And because it is going to allow me to talk now about the masculine and the feminine. Each of us have a certain amount or level on the scale of masculinity and femininity inside of us. And, you know, some of us identify, like, really feminine, and that's great. And some of us identify as really masculine, and that's okay, too. That's wonderful. And some of us are, like, kind of in the middle, and some of us can, you know, really shift back and forth on that spectrum of identity. And, you know, something recently that I've come to find about myself is that I am quite gender fluid. There are days when I just want to go out there and rock a suit, which is classically very masculine. And yet other days there are just, I just want to wear my skirts and be very, exude a very feminine energy. And, you know, even when I'm rocking that suit, I do have a feminine air, but there's also that very masculine presentation when I do that. Which I find really cool, actually. And so, you know, this path is about self-discovery. This path is about gaining knowledge, not only about yourself, but about other people and their practices. And that's one of the reasons that Ask a Witch is here, so that you can ask a witch your questions. Sonia has a question there. Do you feel being a witch is something you can just do and learn, or do you feel the witch is already in your being? Both. The simple answer is both. I am a witch because I identify with the word. The word for me holds great power. And since I was about 15 or 16, I've told people I am a witch, and I've never shied away from that. And, you know, I've always carried it with me. It is part of my identity as a human being. But being a witch, I think that it's kind of a complicated sort of answer also, in that being a witch is part of your identity, and the learning the witchcraft and gaining the knowledge and gaining more information about yourself and about the world, about the universe, about the seen and unseen is part of that. It's all interconnected. It's very much a journey. It's not about the destination. There is no point at which you say, okay, I've gained all this, I've gained all that, I've gained, you know, everything that there is to know, and now I'm a witch. I think it's more, okay, I think I might be a witch. Let's go on this path, and let's find out if that's something that I can really make a part of my identity. Is this really a part of my identity that I can unlock? I hope that answers your question. there's a couple other questions that I have here. If my phone will deign to cooperate. let's see. I answered that one. Okay, Lori Blackman asked me yesterday, as what most would call a modern-day witch, how do you feel about the incantation abracadabra? And do you think this is just a word used in stage magic, or does it have the power believed back in the first century as a way to connect with healing spirits, or used written in a downward triangle to ward off evil spirits? Goodness, what a question! I saw that yesterday. And I was like, wow, I don't really know how I'm going to answer this. But I guess I'll just take it, you know, one little bit at a time. How do I feel about abracadabra? I believe that any words that we use act as keys. If we believe these words have power, they have power. They act as these keys, as these helpers for us to summon the power of the will within each of us, doing like a magical spell or for example, or a ritual of some kind. Hi, Isabella! She's my friend from UK. I'm glad that she can watch along with all of you. Do I think that it has power? Yes, I think it has power, absolutely. It does for a lot of people. It acts as that thing that shifts us from mundane to magical. Even for people who don't really practice magic on a regular basis, or at all, consciously, at least. It's just like blowing out the candles on your birthday cake. That's a spell. You make a wish, you close your eyes, you make a wish, and then you activate that wish by blowing out the candles. And do I believe that you have to blow out all of the candles on your birthday cake in order for that wish to come true? No, I don't. I did at one point, but then I thought to myself, well, that's silly. I have all of these candles. Each of them is an energetic battery lit, and which I direct my will into when I blow them out. So each of them is one more chance for my will to be done. So if I miss one or two, who cares? I'll just take another breath and blow them all out. Let's see here. I have a couple of more questions. Let's see. All right, so this is an interesting one. Voodoo in this society today is more accepted than being Wiccan, I think. I feel this is due mainly to the links with the Roman Catholics. The adoption of Catholic saints in voodoo practices, as well as many Catholics in Haiti, mix the two faiths together. So with the new concepts of mixing Christianity with Wicca, you have Christian Wicca or Trinitarian Wicca. I have even heard of Wicca and voodoo mixed. I can understand the concept of voodoo mixed with the Roman Catholic faith, but not Christianity and Wicca, or Wicca and voodoo. Would these not be a contradiction to each faith, and do you see the mix of any of these as an oxymoron? Well, I am not really here to tell anyone how to practice, how to connect with deity, how to connect with the universe on a spiritual or a metaphysical level. Do I think it's a little bit odd? Well, yeah, maybe. but I don't think it's necessarily wrong or oxymoronical. I think that if they can reconcile inside of themselves the two practices, which of say Christianity and Wicca, which are quite different but have very much the same, especially if you get into Catholicism, Wicca and Catholicism have a lot in common. A Catholic Mass is a ritual. It uses candles, it has an altar, they enact prayers, which are magic, they worship a deity, they sing, if I didn't say that they use incense, both of them use incense, they have, the offering of cakes and ale, or, you know, the Eucharist and the wine, let me see. All right. So, yeah, if it works for that person, then it works for that person. I am not a person who has studied much about voodoo, so I can't really answer in that direction. and I don't really want to speculate on something that I don't know. But maybe in the future I can, you know, ask other people who might be more familiar with voodoo, and how it relates to Catholicism and all that. Or, you know, how it relates to Wicca. I don't know. So, I hope I answered that question relatively well, from my perspective. Let's see. Okay, and this is the next one is a fun question. Since we're headed into the conference slash festival slash pagan pride day season, what are some good ways to keep from becoming overwhelmed in such large events with so many different people, energy signatures, and potential pulls of personal energy? Is there a tool or stone or some energy working I can focus on to help keep from getting overwhelmed? The short answer is yes. There are several tools and devices and energetic techniques that people can use. It's a matter of what works for you. So early on, I liked to use hematite, and I thought that it would be awesome to have, you know, like a hematite ring that I could just wear so that I wouldn't, like, forget to carry like a stone with me, or a necklace that I could put on or something. And I found that the energy that the hematite would siphon off of me throughout the day, even if I, you know, rinsed out all of the energy in cold water or salt, throughout the day, my hematite ring that I had bought cracked after not even a month. I think it was like a couple of weeks of wearing it. And the hematite necklace that I had fell apart. So if you're looking to use hematite, stick with a stone, put it in your pocket, maybe even attach it to your keys somehow, like if you wear your keys on a carabiner on your belt. Or maybe, like, even, like, get it on a wrapped pendant. I don't recommend getting a ring of hematite. I don't recommend having a necklace primarily, like, made out of hematite. They haven't worked for me. Other devices, like physical devices that I've used, salt. Plain old table salt. Put a little bit under your tongue and let it, like, just dissolve all the excess energy down into the ground, down into the earth. It works really well. But it's good to, it's wise to not become dependent on salt or hematite. So I do grounding, and this is simply, coupled with what's called clearing and releasing. The two in my head are kind of like synonymous. But basically, you envision a big ball of white light above your head, and then you let the energy come down into the top of your head, all the way down through your body, filling your body as it goes, and basically washing the excess out of your feet into the ground, or, you know, out of the bottom of you if you're sitting, basically. And then the light disappears and dissipates, and you're good, essentially. There are lots of different ways that you can envision it. You don't even necessarily have to envision it. You can feel it. And that's basically, you know, how I do things. I don't really, like, see them necessarily, like I'm seeing myself on my iPad right now. But I feel it. I know it. I will it. So if it works for you, it works. Don't get caught up in like, oh, I have to see it or it's not working. No. Let's see. What other things? Sometimes drinking a glass of cold water works for me. And also, remembering to eat. because, you know, when you're at a busy festival, you might be so intent on interacting with people and looking at all the things and experiencing all the workshops and stuff that you might just forget to eat. And forgetting food is quite grounding. That's why after rituals, we have feasts, like a potluck or something, right? So, food. let's see. I think that kind of answers that question in its entirety. Let's see. Is there a tool or a stone or some energy working? Yeah, that would be, I think I answered that well enough. Let's see, I think I answered all of the questions that I had in the backdrop. Let me see if there's any in my instant message. Okay, so a friend of mine, before we started, asked, can the gods be individuals with, while also being part of a larger whole sort of deity? And in my perspective, yes, they absolutely can. It's just like humans can be each individual, while also being part of a larger group, called humanity. Or, you know, even smaller groups, like, for example, witches and pagans and insert other label here, female, male, gender nonconforming, gay, straight, bi, whatever other kind of label. Labels are simply something that the human mind uses to help us understand and compartmentalize. So, my answer shortly is yes. Okay, so let's see. Someone is telling me that Mary has a great question. So, Mary asks, or says, I don't use any tools such as a pendulum, boards, because I feel I have a very strong spirits behind me. Would that elevate any energy increase or activity? I'd love to connect on a personal level. Just a bit wary because I'm self-taught and I don't have any coaches. Let me see. I think the question is, would using tools increase energetic activity or spiritual activity? I don't really know how to answer this question. It just depends on the person. If you find, Mary, if you find using tools helps you to better connect with the spirits that you have behind you, then by all means, use those tools. Learn how to interact with those tools. Learn how to, how they interact with you through those tools. Because the tools, such as pendulums, tarot cards, other divination decks, crystal balls, tea reading, palmistry, runes, whatever other method, it's a filter. It helps you bring through the messages from the spirits, from deity, from spirit. I would say try. And if it doesn't work, put it aside. Try something else. Maybe you don't need a tool. I don't really need tools. I find that they kind of hamper me sometimes because they are they can be so specific in how they are said to be used. And Mary, I would say if you already feel very intense energy, learning how to ground is very, very, very important so that you don't get overwhelmed. And also, something that I learned very early on when working with spirits and bringing through their messages is that you have to create a barrier that says, okay, I'm giving you my time, but I won't let you overwhelm me. At one point, all of them, like, rushed in on me and started asking all these questions at once, and they wanted all of my attention all at the same time. So something that I learned was, say, hey, queue up. Get in a line, one question at a time. I'm not Superman. And they listened, because I told them to listen, because they knew that in an instant, I could shut it off. And you have to learn that sort of mechanism to deal with them, or else they can get kind of pushy. That's just from my perspective. That's what I found. let's see here. Julia, hello. I think that you were the lady from Idaho. Hello, I'm sorry. I wasn't ignoring you, at all. Let's see. Does the size of the crystal matter? It depends on what the crystal is being used for. If you're referring to my earlier explanation about hematite, I would say experiment with several sizes of hematite pieces. Maybe carry a few to begin with. And also learn how to ground, like, without the use of the hematite. The hematite is a tool to help. Mary says, thank you, this is exactly what I needed. And Mary, I'm so glad that I could help. This is what this Ask a Witch is for. You know, ask your questions and get them answered. Mostly. And all of this, again, is, you know, from my perspective. I'm just one witch. There are lots and lots and lots of us out there. And I'm looking forward to, seeing more witches come on, the Witch School page and do their own Ask a Witch sessions. Let's see. Kat asks, do you believe it's easier or more difficult when empathic? Kat, I need a little bit more information. Do I believe what is easier or more difficult? Hello, Sandra. Welcome. Wow, this has been a really nice turnout. 18 people so far. Oh, 19 people so far. Plus those looking over shoulders. Let me see. And a person is messaging me, can I do a question anonymously? Yes. Yes, I can. Just ask me in my inbox. Or just private message the Witch School page, and somebody will kindly forward me that question. But yes, person asking me in my inbox, just write out your question in the IM. I hope they see it or hear it. let's see, what else have I been asked over the years that are not silly? Let's see. Oh, okay, so here's the explanation, from Kat that I was asking about. Keeping the energy and spirits at bay, like how you said to make a wall, to say, hey, keep it in check. When you're empathic, I think that it might be slightly more difficult. I'm empathic, so I really don't know what it's like to not be empathic. I simply know that, hey, if I get overwhelmed, I'm not going to be able to interact with you guys because you're going to overwhelm me, and I'm just, like, not going to be wanting to bring you guys through. to have interactions with you and to answer, you know, questions from whoever else is in the room. Questions of spirit or you know, spirits. So it might be difficult at first, but practice makes more perfect. Sorry, I have a sneeze. Okay, or not. I hate when that happens. Let's see. Let's see here. Kat says, I am as well. I get all shaky and I don't know how to keep it in check. Coming from spirits or people, any suggestions? Kat, when I had my first seance, I cried like a baby. You know what helped? Salt. And other people helping me ground. I was lucky enough to have lots of people around who knew what the heck they were doing. And I think that's one reason why I like to work in groups. Is because they already knew what to do. They already knew what was happening. And they could then help me. We had like two or three salt shakers on the table for people who felt overwhelmed. And they gave me salt. Put it under your tongue. Relax. Breathe. Ground. Grounding, 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 grounding. Very, very, very important. I would go so far as to say it's the most important thing a witch can learn. Like, you have to have this basis, this foundation, so that you don't fall, so that you don't crash. You know, it's like an energetic crash, almost, when you get, like, flooded with so much that you just can't control it. A witch, the metaphor, the acronym I've seen is woman in control of in total control of herself. I would love for it to be, you know, non-gender or gender inclusive, but that's just an acronym that I've seen. In total control. Let's see, Hunter, fantastic thing here. For someone like me with Asperger's who's been on lots of meds growing up that have ended up dampering slash locked in a lot of my abilities, what would you recommend as a good way to help undo the damage from the meds? Okay. Understand that I have Asperger's also, okay? And I don't think I've been on, like, meds for Asperger's. I don't really know that there are meds for Asperger's, particularly. I'm sorry that you feel that you've been dampered by these, and, you know, all of your abilities are kind of, like, locked in a box. Pick one ability that you feel that you have or that you would like to try and work with it for a while. Read books, read websites, ask people who might know, sign up for a class. There's lots of classes online in your town. I bet you if you live in or near a metropolitan area, there is a metaphysical shop that you could go to learn. And if not, witch school has lots of classes. I know several people that could help you with a lot of different things, a lot of different areas of skill. It just depends on what it is. Pick one thing and practice it, okay? And also, couple that skill with grounding and clearing and releasing. Learn how to do that before you do anything else. So that would be, you know, the answer to that question. Okay, couple questions in my inbox. What was the most difficult part of my clergy training? Oh my! I've never been asked this question before, that I can recall. The most difficult part of my clergy training. I think a hard part was trusting my instincts. Trusting that first gut instinct. That it still kind of takes a lot to not dismiss it. What was another difficult part? I think learning how to be patient with myself. Going from being a dedicant to a first degree initiate took a year and a couple of months. Going from first degree to second degree took 6 years. And going from second degree to third degree took like 2 years, I think. 2 or 3 years when I finally got on the roll. So learning to be patient with the process and to understand that deity, spirit, goddess, whatever else you might want to call whatever, you know, cosmic energy is out there, that they will guide me and they will open the doors when they are ready on my journey to introduce me to new things, to new people, to new ways of doing stuff. When I'm ready, it's a process. You have to go through each step. It's like learning math, okay? You need the foundations of addition and subtraction, division, multiplication, before you can get into things like trigonometry and algebra. If you don't have those basics, the higher stuff, the more complicated stuff, is going to fall apart. You're not going to understand how to do it. And, you know, it's a lot more complicated than math, the whole spiritual journey. But that's a simple explanation. All right, let me see. Another question in my inbox. I love these questions. This is really fun. Let's see. So, an anonymous person says, I want to do a spell to bring more people into my life. I'm nervous because I don't really know what it is I want to bring in. To bring in love into my life once and royally messed it up, probably because I lacked focus in the same way and it brought a lot of chaotic energy in and messed some stuff up. Is it possible to do a spell to bring more emotional closeness into my life without a specific focus? Huh. Let me see here. So, basically, I think this person is asking about a spell where they can attract people who would be close to them. And they are rewriting something here. Okay, so I'm going to let them readjust their question. Perhaps to be more clear, we have another question in the comments section. Mary asks again, when I am beginning a spell before anything, I already feel heavy-chested just by gathering my candles and herbs. I start feeling panicky at times, and I can feel the energy in the room. I can hear the energy. I try to ground myself, but sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. How do I take control? Take a step back. Ground some more. Ground and ground and ground and ground. Use various methods of grounding. Drink some water. Put a little bit of salt in the water. Maybe don't have so many candles. Because candles are batteries. They are energetic batteries. Okay? They are potential energy the wick is the potential of energy surrounded by the wax, which allows the wick to burn off and become kinetic energy or used energy, providing you with even more energy. So maybe you have too many candles in your workings. Maybe you should find a scent that you find particularly really relaxing. First thing that pops into my head is lavender. I love lavender. Helps me go to sleep like that. Don't use essential oils on your skin unless they are cut with a carrier oil. Because some of them, especially like spicy ones, can burn you. Don't use pure essential oils on your skin. by the way, I'm not a medical practitioner. I am not giving medical advice. Talk to your doctor. let's see. Perhaps also you might need to simplify your workings. Perhaps you don't need to use candles. I don't really know what else to advise. You just need to relax. I know it's easier said than done sometimes, especially if it's like something that you've been looking forward to, like your favorite way of working, or something that you've been planning for a really long time and you want to get it just exactly perfect. Nothing is going to be exactly perfect. The universe doesn't really work that way. I promise, as long as your energetic intent is there, and your commitment is there, and your will is there, it will happen. Remember, the simplest spell is a birthday wish. Light a candle, close your eyes, think about what you really want to bring to yourself. Open your eyes, blow the candle out. Will. Number one thing. Let's see. Okay, Hunter says, my favorite thing for grounding, banishing, putting up a barrier is the thrice around the circle bound mantra. I actually had a night when I was going down the stairs in my parents' house and almost slipped and without thinking, reflex, chanted the mantra. Huh, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. Okay, let me see if the person who... Oh, nope, they're not quite done yet. Let's see. Anyone else? Okay, no more questions. Any other questions? Ask me more. 23 people watching. I really appreciate all of your time. Aisha, yes, precisely. All the power comes from you, nothing else. We are the power. Exactly. Exactly. Nicole asks for tips for blocking others' energy. I'm an empath and struggle being around people and get so overwhelmed by their emotions and affected by it. Yes. It is called shielding. And this is something that I should have mentioned when I was answering the question earlier. About being in festival / convention / pagan pride day sort of spaces. Shielding is basically creating an energetic barrier around yourself that isn't fueled by your energy, but by the energy of spirit of the universe. So that it doesn't drain you, because that can happen. That's not fun. basically, it's like envisioning yourself in a clear sort of... I look at it like as a, like a flexible plastic, almost. You know, it's not like blocking people off, like, with the intent, oh, I don't want to talk to you, or I don't want to get too close to you. Sort of thing. You can make that happen, like, if there's somebody that you really don't want to talk to, you can kind of, like, put your will out there and make it a wall and be like, nope, don't come near me, please. But generally, if, like, for a general shield, bring down energy, bring it down to heart chakra here, and then push it out and create a wall and let the wall go up and around and behind. And then down to the ground so that you're kind of, like, walking on it. And make it become, like, this solid, clear shell. Some people say that it's cool to make it, like, kind of like a mother of pearl. Because mother of pearl has this, special energetic interaction. But, like, you know, the devil's in the details, as they say, right? Simple. Try different things. See what works for you. Intent. Will. That's the thing. That's the nitty gritties. Tips for blocking other people's energy. Let's see. What else? Make sure that you find a spot initially, and if you can't, like, find it on your own, ask where there's, like, a quiet spot that you can go if you're feeling, like, overwhelmed, that you can go and just ground. Have a cup of water or whatever else there is to drink that's not really caffeine, because, well, for me, caffeine does not ground me. It works in, like, the opposite. You know, have something to drink, have something to eat, relax, find that chill space. And hopefully that'll help you. Let's see. Suzanne asks, do you know about shadow people? Entity of a person, face of a shadow, light that is still living. Nope. I'm gonna have to say no on this one. I have no idea what a shadow person is. Sorry. There's gonna be plenty of future Ask a Witch? Ask a Witch broadcasts. There. We'll just put it that way. So never fear. There's somebody who can talk to you about shadow people out there, I'm sure. Let's see. Has the person... okay, here we go. Okay, so the person that had the spell about bringing more people into their life. They messed up a love spell before because they lacked focus, and it messed things up probably because they lacked focus in the same way, and it brought a lot of chaotic energy. Is it possible to do a spell to bring more emotional closeness into their life without a specific focus? Boy, oh boy. Firstly, I'm sorry your spell went awry. Love spells in general, for those of you who are watching and, you know, want to do a love spell, you really don't want to do a love spell. Not a good idea. Just no. Screwing with other people's will is a bad idea. Not only because of moral reasons, but for just general karma and unexpected results. I would not recommend doing anything in which you cannot predict the results within reason. If you're kind of like, oh, I wonder what would happen if I did this, probably not a good idea. So let's see. Spell to bring people in emotionally. You know, I don't know. I just don't know about this one. I don't know. Maybe you could do something along the lines of, like, a spell that would open yourself up in a healthy, energetic fashion. But don't make it about, like, bringing other people in. Make it about opening yourself up. And also, before you even think about doing any of this, ask yourself, are you ready to bring in people energetically and emotionally like that? You have to be ready for the results, even unexpected results, before you even enter into these kinds of workings. So, yeah, you know, just, I would need to know more to be able to give any kind of advice further in that kind of area, but we can talk about it later, maybe off the broadcast. let's see here. Let's see. Oh gosh. Mary, I do not think that it would be a good idea to do love spells for people for money. For people, period. Let alone for money. I hope that they don't come back upon you. Aisha says, manipulation, that's a big bag of nope. Precisely. Let's see. Cindy asks, wouldn't doing a release spell to let go of the need for a lover help to let it go? Releasing spell, releasing workings are a good idea, if you and a partner, are incompatible and you are having trouble letting them go, like, disconnecting from that, and there are different methods for doing that. So the short answer is yes, that can be a good idea if you're having difficulty doing it without such. Michelle says, I want to start my journey, but I don't know how. Welcome, you're starting your journey right now. Happy to be a part of that, as I'm sure everybody else is. You have taken the first step. let's see. Connection is not good, but I will ask, what does it mean when a bat comes into your home, and do you leave it there since it is in an area where you are, and is it safe? Bats can harbor all kinds of diseases and stuff. I would remove it from your home. Bats don't belong inside, unless it's like a bat in a belfry or something, or in a barn. Where no humans, like, go regularly. Yeah. Please remove the bat from your home. It doesn't belong inside. Let's see. Nicole, thank you for watching. Oh, Mary, I misunderstood. Okay. She was referring to, she does spells to attract money to her. Okay. So, here's another thing I think people can get kind of confused about, especially if you're starting off. They do a spell for money, and then they think that it's just going to happen, you know, magically, right? But you have to actually do the work that will bring the money to you after you do the spell, such as going out and getting that job, applying, and then following up. The spell is merely to shift the universe's energy, in the direction you want to go, to make it more easy. It's like shifting the water in a river to make it easier for you to go down the river in the direction that you want to go down. Right? It's like If you just think that it's going to happen like that, if you think that you're going to win the lottery like that, and you don't have the lottery ticket, I gotta say, you're not going to win the lottery, sweetheart. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I think it's funny that people sometimes think that it can just, you know, like I can jump on a broom and fly. Physics. Physics, darlings. Physics. I'm not that good. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, hi, Gary! How are you? I am so glad you are watching. Gary is a wonderful friend of mine. He is a brother. Amelia said, read ravenously. Yes. Very, very, very good suggestion. Read. And keep in mind, when you read, don't take what you're reading as gospel. We don't have one way to do it all kind of thing. Find out different things that work for you. Follow the path that attracts you and leave the path that you're going down if you don't find that it's enriching your life. If you don't find that it's benefiting you anymore, don't be afraid to leave for a different path. Don't be afraid to widen your avenues of walking. Be cautious, yes, but caution is not necessarily fear. Nicole asks, don't we all just wish we could jump on a broom and fly off? Yes! I think a lot of us wish that sometimes. But, you know, I would rather just, you know, be able to close my eyes and be somewhere else when I open them after rolling it. But, you know, if you think about it, we kind of do that already with the internet. I mean, I'm in each of your living rooms or offices or wherever you're having to sit right now watching me. I could even be, like, on a train if you're watching me while you're commuting. Isn't that cool? I think that's awesome. I love the internet. Internet is magic, baby. Let's see. Acknowledge that finding a quarter on the ground counts as you finding money. Yes! Yes! And that is why you need to set your intent and be specific about your intent. For example, and Gary, you and I both know someone who actually did a class about intents, and we were both there, and it was epic. Oh, I missed that class. We need to do that class again. Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent. I get those sometimes, but that's okay. I didn't realize there was so much lag here. My bad. Oh, Amelia, it's okay. Lag is everywhere. It's one of those things that just kind of happens. But yes, energetic intent, very important. Be specific. Think about, before you even, like, decide, okay, yes, I'm gonna do this ritual and it's gonna be awesome, and I'm gonna have, like, you know, these candles and these herbs, and I'm gonna use this altar cloth, and I'm gonna wear this or that or the other thing. Sit down and really come to understand what it is you actually want, and word it in such a manner that is very, very clear. You don't want money. You want an income, a steady income, a steady income upon which you can live a fulfilling life, for example. That would be a good start, perhaps. let me see. Anybody else asking me questions? Gary, do you have any questions for your lovely sister? Let's see. Nope, nobody. No other questions here. Which school? Nope. And if there are no other questions, then I am going to end very soon because I've been on quite a while. Yep. I've been on over an hour. It does not feel like an hour has gone by. Let me see. You guys can tune in sometime next week or the week after. I think it's going to be, like, next week. My good friend and brother Phoenix Williams, who is a witch and a high priest, will be doing an Ask a Witch relatively soon. Probably next week. No promises, though. He might get busy. He's a very, very busy person. He's amazing. You should check out, I think it's been shared with the Witch School page. Check out down below, a few days ago, he did a Mars oil making demonstration type thing, an explanation. It was wonderful. Wonderful. Go check that out if you need some Mars oil or are curious about what is Mars oil. Do I have a set schedule, like, for doing Ask a Witch? No, there is no set schedule. for Ask a Witch. Basically, how it works is if you are a witch or witchy type person, and we can even do, like, you know, Ask a Witch, pagan episode if you don't necessarily identify as a witch. then basically what you do is you message me or another admin, just message the Witch School page, and we can set it up for you. 24 hours in advance, you're basically, like, locked in. So you have to make sure that the day and time that you want is something that you can commit to. And that's, like, it. Really simple. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate all the positive comments. I'm so glad that this went so well. Gary, I would love you to do one sometime. That would be awesome. Let's see here. Oh, yes! Let me see. Can I explain paganism to Nicolette? Paganism is a very deep well, and I don't know that I necessarily have time right now to explain paganism. Paganism has different definitions to different people, but to me, the term pagan, is an umbrella type term that encompasses different paths, different spiritualities, different ways of living and being, that are outside of my, outside of the book religions, quote unquote book religions, Abrahamic religions. So, you know, this can, I'm not gonna list, like, what religions or spiritualities that I think are pagan, because I might offend some people, but yeah, so, do research, go online, look up, you know, dictionary.com/paganism, or, you know, dictionary.com, enter, and then type in paganism, and kind of get a feel for that sort of thing, but take it with a grain of salt if you're looking in the dictionary for these kinds of things, and, you know, just do a general Google search. What is paganism? A person who has been asked to do Ask a Witch in the future said that they will take that question on her session when she gets around to it. I'm not sure if they want me to announce their name, so I won't announce the name. But just stay tuned and, you know, follow and like the Witch School official page, and please, please share this with your friends. It's gonna be on the internet forever. One last piece of advice. If it's on the internet, it is on there forever. Do not do, say, or put up anything on the internet that you do not want the entire world to see at some point. Let's see. I feel cursed or that something is going on with me since birth. How do I break the cycle? Stop believing it. Feel blessed. Do things in your life that make you feel blessed. Do a ritual bath. Do meditation. Do grounding, clearing, releasing, and shielding of yourself every day. On a regular basis, preferably at the same time, or the same chunk of time, morning, afternoon, evening, like when you first wake up, when you're getting ready for bed, something along those lines. Do things that attract positivity to your life. Basically, just start. When is a good time to start? Now is a good time to start. Not tomorrow, not next week, not on the next full moon, now. All of those specific things that we use are just tools. But honestly, we are will. We are the source of change. Like Aisha said earlier, we are these things already. We don't need all these fancy tools. I really don't need that altar up there. You know, I really don't need the robes that I wear. I really don't need, like, a wand or a crystal ball or any of that. It's good to have, to start, because it makes you feel powerful. It brings out the energy inside of you that already exists. It makes you feel more, as if it's possible. But just know that it is possible. Know that you could be outside penniless, and you could still do magic. You could have not a single cent to your name. You could have the clothes on your back and a couple dollars in your wallet and yet do magic. You don't need any of the accoutrements. Trust me. Been there. Done that. Not necessarily, you know, with just a couple of dollars in my pocket and nothing else, but pretty darn close. Break the cycle today. Will it today. Okay? You can do it. I believe in you. But you need to believe in yourself. Let's see. Do witches or you believe in an authority outside of themselves? Yes? Governmental law? Don't break the laws of the country in which you live. Please, I don't want to see any of you go to jail. let's see. I think that's all of the questions that I'm going to take. I'm kind of running out of steam. I loved this. This was really a lot of fun. Thank you all for attending. The person, by the way, who is going to take that question about what is paganism, for the person who asked, that would be Lori Denman. She is a very, very, very wise woman. She is a witch, a Wiccan, a Karelian, archpriestess. Very, very amazing. Very, very fun to talk to. So, Jennifer, before I go, I'll inbox you here shortly. Okay, after the feed ends, and then we can talk more about it. Because I really want to answer your question more thoroughly. I'm just kind of, you know, tuckered out. This was a really good conversation. I hope you guys learned a lot. I hope everybody in the future learns a lot from it, too. I really think that it's important that we start documenting these things so that the future can have and reflect back on these things that we're discussing now and gain insight and perspective, because perspective is everything. If we don't have perspective, then it doesn't do us any good to even ask these questions, or ask questions in the future. We need to have an understanding. So I thank you, everybody, and blessed be, and I hope you have a lovely day, a lovely week, a lovely year, a lovely decade. And I will be on sometime in the future again, and so will several other people. So yeah, this has been the first episode of Ask a Witch. Bye, guys.